All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the work group 3, conditions and maintenance of certification as it relates to information blocking. We're going to dive right in, start with a quick roll call. Andy Truscott, I know it was a little bit late. Michael Adcock?
Here.
Denise Webb? I know, I think she's going to join us shortly. She's coming from another call. Sasha Termott?
Here.
Lauren Thompson? And Erin Mary? Okay. All right, hopefully the others will join, but why don't we go ahead and get started, starting with revisiting some of the outstanding issues from prior calls.
Yeah, and if the others don't join quickly, Sasha and I will finish all this and be finished before they join.
Sounds great. Are we looking at a particular document that I should pull up?
I think we're pulling it up now.
Is it on the screen for you guys? I'm sharing my screen, I think.
Yep.
It is, yeah.
Do we have a link to that too, or no?
Should be the same Google Doc. I can link. I can send you the link though if you need it.
Oh, that would be great. I'm just trying to find it.
Yeah, I have an email open here. Let me just.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
And Mark, once you send that to her, I guess we're just going to walk through the outstanding items that were left open from last time and then go through revising any of our comments or recommendations so that we can have those recommendations, as many as possible, complete and ready to go so that you can compile those with the list of all the other work groups and task force so to prepare for our meeting next Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, and just like Lauren, we just talked about, well, this is just a preliminary draft, so we don't need to necessarily, you know, finalize anything at this point. It's more just our preliminary draft recommendations. But yeah, that sounds good. All right, Sasha, I just sent it. I think you should get it.
Thank you so much.
Sure. And Michael, I guess it's your show. Whenever you want to, what do you want to start with?
Whatever. I was just wondering if you could pull up the first outstanding issue we had, because it says go through the outstanding issues. I'm assuming that there's some outline.
Sure. Yeah. So I mean, I think information blocking, condition of certification, it looks like everyone said leave intact.
Right.
If anyone feels differently, speak now. So then on to assurances. Let's see what we got here.
I think we finished that one, too. I think I put a comment in the document where we left off, actually.
Okay. All right.
Maybe I didn't.
How about this? Maybe I'll I'll open it up to if there are any issues people want to discuss on assurances, but it's just the three of us, so sounds like you did.
I think for the TEFCA part, we were okay with that one proposal. Oh, you're above that. I was fine with those two, and I think we did discuss that last time.
We did, yes.
So, actually, I had a question just for if you could clarify this proposal, that ONC should retain records on the chapel indefinitely for ongoing reference of which products were certified. So that's, you're just talking about of which, that just certification, like you guys are saying that indefinite.
Yes. So I think it was Andy who had, or a concern that later you might want, as a provider, reference to say that you're, even though a product is no longer certified, a reference point to say it was certified over a particular time frame. And so the suggestion was that the chapel could be that reference as long as it remained available.
Okay, gotcha. Thanks for the clarification.
So, Mark, this is Lauren Wu. Could I just make maybe some clarifying comments just for background?
Yeah, please.
So, yeah, Sasha, today the chapel can accommodate that. You can use the filters to display inactive certificates and the information about those. It's not the default view, so by default, the chapel will just pull up those active certificates, but there is a way to use the filters to pull that up.
Yes, I think Aaron's concern was just that this provision was about retention periods, and we weren't clear that the chapel would have an indefinite retention period of all of that data.
Sure, that's fair. The other, I think, I was thinking about this as I was listening to the conversation, is I think just to be clear, the proposal here is concerning, you know, a lot of the detailed records regarding certification and adherence to the assurances condition of certification that may not be available on the chapel. So, I think you know well, Sasha, but the chapel, you know, has a sort of limited public-facing amount of information about the certificate, but testing and certification, as you know, has a significant number of records, you know, about the testing and certification process that are not publicly available on chapel. And I believe this proposal is really referring to the developers' records of all of that activity, not necessarily what is public-facing on the chapel.
Yes, I think the discussion that we had understood that there was some back and forth, because I think that Andy was assuming that these retention periods discussed here of the more detailed information would be necessary for a purpose, which I suggested could be met by just the chapel as it is today if that information continues to be available. And so his worry was if we needed to increase retention periods because of the need potentially more than 10 years later to know simply was a certain product certified at a particular point in time. And so but I pointed out the burden of indefinite retention of such a large volume of material. So this proposal was intended to represent a clarification, I guess, in a sense that there are some smaller portions of information which are represented on the chapel, which are necessary to continue to be available for longer than 10 years, potentially, even though the retention periods proposed for the detailed background information would stay as proposed, if that makes sense. So, Lauren,
yes,
do think we understood
helpful.
The distinction that you're making.
Okay, understood. Thanks.
Okay, should we go on to the TEFCA?
Yes.
I think that is fine.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so going on to communications. And here I think we had a lot of text. And so I think this is where we left off. And I see my note to myself, Sasha, to maybe clean up this language, and I don't know that I totally did. So we had a variety of proposed things. What are we calling them? Proposal?
Yeah. I mean,
So this was one of them. This is now in the one below. And then this was stuff that Andy had put in. I don't exactly know how this last part was a recommendation. And then did we catch everything from within this section?
I'm looking back. I've got the Google Doc pulled up as well. I'm looking back.
Oh, we missed the contracting.
Is there a section you want me to go to, or?
I got it. I think we have the parts now in the bottom under the below this line are the proposed, and we're just kind of clearing up the language. So the first one, proposed recommendation, adjust definitions to clarify that administrative functions of health IT would be non-user facing aspects based on the assessments. That those.
So I have a.
Yep.
I have a question about that. Just as far as the intent of the group, do you want it to say would or could, just to clarify? Like it would in all situations, or it could be non-user facing?
I think it could be non-user facing is reasonable. Aaron, or,
I agree.
Yeah, okay. And then
I agree too. This is Denise I'm on.
Oh, thanks, Denise.
And I agree as well. This is Aaron.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. So that's the first one, unless anyone has any further edits to the language. Second one, be clear. Oops, lost a word.
It's very quiet on here.
We're just group editing. It's always very quiet.
Because we're working, Andy. Welcome.
Sorry I'm late, guys. I was waiting in a very long line for immigration in Toronto.
Glad they let you through.
Indeed.
Just to clarify,
Andy, while she's typing, what we were doing is going through the proposed recommendations and cleaning them up. In all the individual sections. We've gotten through a couple of them now. We're
That's awesome. You know, this group, fundamentally, I'm not have any concerns that we're going to come through to a series of well-thought-out, well-constructed, well-defined recommendations. I'm no worry at all on that regard.
Do we have, so I know in the other task force we had like a little acronym that we were using to refer to ourselves, and then in this one I'm highlighting now we just say the task force. Do we have like an acronym we're supposed to use, like work group 3?
Is this the IBTF work group 3?
IBTF is fine, because we're going to consolidate everything into one series of recommendations for the whole task force to consider.
Okay.
Yeah, we just wanted to call out which task force, at least, to differentiate who did the work on these.
Okay, I'll make sure it's totally attributable to you personally. For the tape, that was facetiousness. Yeah, we'll track where these have come from the source documents, but at the end of the day, I want the idea is for Mike and I that these are consolidated into a single recommendation series that comes from the task force. And we will discuss all of these in task force.
I'm just cleaning these up, and I'm assuming that folks will correct me if I'm doing it poorly.
Yeah, I'm kind of reading along as you're doing this.
What I need to think about here. Are the, so the underlined portions.
Can you scroll up a little bit? Or I mean down, I should say, the other way. Okay.
I don't understand B2III. Did that come from Andy?
I believe so.
Is he on mute?
I'm on mute, yeah.
So, Andy, I think it was you that put a comment in here under B2III. The roadmap required by the paragraph B of this section must remediation contravention of paragraph A of this section within 5 years of the effective date of this rule.
Yeah. Yeah, I
Do
think
you mean
so.
Must
so we,
remediate?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Roadmap required by B must remediate contravention of paragraph A. I don't understand still. Talk me through it.
Well, the point was we were trying to move away from a 2-year resolve by.
Okay.
So within 2 years we have a roadmap, mm-hmm. and if you're in if there is a problem, then you have to have remediated it within 5. And the 5 years was kind of like, let's discuss this because we hadn't discussed it. But
okay.
it was kind of like, look, we can't just say, oh, yeah, you need a roadmap in 2. And that roadmap says, well, in 27 years, we'll get this done. Well, that would be foolhardy and inappropriate. So it's kind of saying, look, I think a 5-year number, and, you know, Sasha, if you reach back into our daytime jobs, you know, 5 years, I think, is a reasonable number to have got through this, assuming, you know, there's contravention across the entire shop. 2 years was not. And, you know, between yourselves and ourselves, we probably are at the top end of a number of extant contracts that would need consideration.
So would it be fair to just say, instead, the plan required by paragraph II of this section must not exceed beyond 5 years, but do you mean 5 years from
the effective date of the regulation?
Okay. Okay. I'm going to suggest some edits here for clarity for my own sake. And then
just change. Don't worry about proposing edits. Make the changes. You and I seem to be thinking the same way. I think the term from the effective date of the regulation is a perfectly valid one because it's used elsewhere. We might actually be using here. But. Mark, is it helpful that we're proposing this level of revision? You know, we're actually providing you the language, or would you rather we just gave you principles and said, work it out?
I think however you all think is the best means of making recommendations. I think either way, if you just kind of give us the broad strokes of what the time frame is that you would recommend, and, you know, it's something that we would want to incorporate, we could come up with a language, but if it makes more sense to actually draft it, you know, go right ahead.
Okay. We'll carry on because I think it helps our thinking as well. Frankly, we're also trying to reduce the burden. Go on.
Andy, it doesn't hurt to give them the language, but I can tell you, having spent the time I did in government, typically they're legal folks, right? write the actual regulatory text or
yeah,
the final.
I mean,
that way.
Yeah.
And so they have specific words and terms they use. So sometimes it is better just to give the overarching theme of what we're asking them or suggesting that they do.
Okay. That's cool. We'll mix it up a bit. But yeah, good. Yeah. I'm just trying to reduce the burden for the actual revisions that we'll and see go through them.
Okay. Do we have any other, I guess, edits or recommendations on the communication section?
How did we capture the form of communication?
For what? When there's an issue?
Well, no, because I can't see the screen, remember. We said that there would be the communication had to go. It wasn't fair to say it's just by email. It had to go by mail, registered mail as well.
Well, I think that's in a different section. Because wasn't that in the, not in the communication section?
That's in the enforcement.
That's in the enforcement section.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not
so,
in enforcement right now. We're in communication.
No. Okay, I thought we'd had a conversation about whether we should add something here potentially. If not, that's fine. If the group doesn't feel, and frankly, it's been done elsewhere, so move on. I've talked myself out of it.
Yeah, I'm not recalling that conversation.
Yeah, don't worry. I've talked myself out of it. If you let me talk long enough, I tend to.
Okay, was there anything else under communication? If not, we can keep moving.
We actually had another section of communications in the next box, too, actually.
Okay.
I need it up here. Does that seem clear?
I might add, ONC should add a category of communication titled unprotected communications to their framework. It just reads funny. And then you could put period. This category would not be communications in this category would not be extended these protections, including communications such as.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Look, I think we can move to the next one. Yes, thanks, Sasha, for doing that.
No problem.
All right, Mark, we can scroll.
Okay.
This is where I think your mail one comes in.
So, Andy, we're in this, because you don't see a screen, right? We're in the section on enforcement.
This is on ONC review. Yeah.
Process for notifying a health IT developer that an action is going to be taken.
So Andy, do you have access to the, are you looking at the document or are you offline?
I'm not. I'm in, unfortunately, standing waiting to board an aircraft.
Okay. Well, this is where we discuss
so we can,
the, go ahead, Denise.
We can read it to you.
It's on Takanori. Go on then.
So this is the one that you asked about on mailing notifications.
Yeah.
So our proposed recommendation is ONC should both email. Should use both email and certified mail for notices of initiating direct review, potential nonconformity, suspension, proposed termination, and termination.
Sounds good to me.
What about ban? We didn't mention that.
Isn't termination a ban?
No, you could have a module terminated but not be completely banned. Isn't that correct, Mark? You could have certification for a particular module terminated but not be totally banned from the program.
Yeah, so the termination would go to the product, I believe. It has to do with the
ONC
direct review.
Add ban then, that's fine.
We added it.
Yeah, this is Lauren. The distinction is the ban applies at the developer level.
Very good.
Okay.
So is everyone with this?
Yep.
Okay. Let's keep moving.
Okay, certification ban is next.
I like this group. It's very efficient.
I don't think we had any recommendations in the certification ban section.
Can I... ask a question before we move on, just about one of the recommendations you all talked about. Sorry, I'm scrolling up to it. Had to do with communications. The one about the third category of unprotected communications. So I guess in your opinion, those things would not be caught in the permitted prohibitions and restrictions section. I guess I'm just asking about the necessity of a third category. Just asking.
I don't think there's anything in the permitted prohibitions that addresses things like false communications or communications protected by attorney-client privilege.
I'm looking.
Is there something we should look at, Mark?
No, I mean, I'm not. I'm just asking whether... not necessarily even whether there's language already or if, like, it could be incorporated into that section instead of creating a different category.
Well, I guess there's two thoughts. One is that I don't think false communications or communications protected by attorney-client privilege should be I think that should preempt the other category, too, of the always protected communications. They should only be always protected if they are, like, not libel, for example. And then, so I think a third category is helpful from a distinction from that perspective. And then the permitted restrictions is, I guess, sort of a different class in my mind. I would suggest a third category.
Okay. I just wanted to raise it, but just, your recommendations.
Yeah, I think this might be, this is a recommendation from the practicalities of executing this in the field. There are some certain levels of communication, and no, it isn't top of mind when you were thinking this out. I think this is a good one, and important because it's kind of like one of the embedded principles about client attorney privilege, for example.
Great.
Move on, Mike.
What now?
I added a clarifying sentence just to Mark's point in case anyone wants to look at that.
Cool.
I'll throw up to there so we can have it on the screen. Let me see.
That'd be great. had to step away for a second.
It just says unprotected communication should not receive unqualified protection or necessitate permitted restrictions, which is the reason we discussed making it a separate category.
That's good.
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. I'm still processing. Maybe I'm buffering right now. One more time.
Unprotected communications.
Yep.
Such as false communications, communications protected by attorney-client privilege, etc.
Yep.
Should not receive unqualified protection or necessitate permitted restrictions.
Meaning that for those types of communications, it would not fall out of the cover of having to saying I didn't get it or whatever. What are we trying to say there? Like, it's a whole other category of what?
So,
communication.
Well, Mark asked whether we really needed this additional category, and couldn't we add these types of communications under the prohibited or restricted?
Right. Okay. All right.
And we didn't agree, and this clarifies that.
Yeah. That, okay. That, all right. That's what I thought we were. Okay. Thank you. That was it. I thought for whatever reason we were agreeing. I was like, I don't follow. But now I get it now. Okay.
Okay. So back down to
ban.
The ban. And I don't think we had anything on the ban section. And then we're into public listing of bans. And we proposed, let me copy this down to our section at the bottom.
So, Sasha, while you're doing that, there was a request for some information from us at the last meeting, so I'm happy to provide that update whenever you guys are ready about the ban.
Okay.
So I think there was a question of what the practice is today for displaying those developers who have been subject to the certification ban on the chapel. And so I went back to my team, and the process today would be if the developer seeks remediation and is approved by ONC and is no longer under the ban, then that information would no longer be on the chapel, in that it would not be discoverable that the developer had ever been subject to a ban. So essentially today on the chapel, it really lists the current status of the developer. So the request for comment in this rule concerns whether ONC should take a different approach and put, you know, as you stated here, the begin and end dates of developers who have ever been on a certification ban for sort of historical purposes. And the other thing I wanted to mention is I don't think it's pulled into the template you're working on here, but there is some additional request for comment in the preamble of the rule on page 301. That says, we seek comment on whether ONC should impose a minimum certification ban length before a health IT developer can request ONC remove the ban for health IT developers who are non-compliant with a condition of certification more than once.
Well, on the first part of this, I actually think they should change their practice, and they should publish and keep past records of bans, the start and stop, on the chapel.
Right.
I think we agreed that, didn't we, last call?
Yep, we've got that proposal in there.
And the only thing I would suggest that we say differently here, it doesn't specify a time period that this would stay on the chapel. We're not suggesting it's only out there for a period of time. Do we want to specifically state that?
I must confess, my point of view on this is I wouldn't want to set a minimum time limit that has to expire before you can ask for the ban to be lifted, because I think that might have unintended consequences on some of, potentially, a large organization that has a ban in one piece of the organization for some reason. But actually, you know, it's remediated very, very quickly. I wouldn't put that minimum limit on.
I think we're just talking about the time frame for listing it
on
the travel, not the time frame of the ban.
I was talking specifically about a minimum time limit for what has to expire before you can post-ban apply to be unbanned. So I thought
was
what
we were
saying.
I think we understood that, but we haven't gotten to discussing that. We're just trying to cover this first point on how long should it be published that somebody had a ban, even if it ended.
I thought our previous consensus was that it should be published indefinitely.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so if that is true, that we all agree. Okay, you added it.
Yep.
You fixed it. You put in that.
Yeah, I mean, so let me ask you a question.
On our clarification.
What difference would it be? I mean, look, HHS keeps their wall of shame up for forever of people who have had breach. What difference is this, right? People who are behaving badly, it's out there for the world to see.
Exactly.
No, I don't think anybody's arguing that. It's just their current practice does not do this, so we're
recommending. No, I agree. I'm just giving weight to the argument. I agree with you. I'm just giving other data points to show precedent. That's all.
Oh, okay. Thought you were trying to convince us.
No, I agree.
We're already convinced.
Yeah, I know. Denise, you and I are birds of a feather here. Gotcha.
So now
do we want to talk about the second part that Andy wants to made a suggestion on? On the other question ONC asked?
Right. I think that's a question asked in the preamble, we should at least answer. I happen to agree with Andy. I don't think there should be a minimum time. If they're, you know, if someone's able to remediate something quickly, as long as there's still documentation up that they had received a ban, I don't know why we would want to make them wait. If they're willing to correct it quickly, let's correct it and move on.
So we're suggesting a second proposed recommendation that there is no minimum time a ban must last.
Yeah, and I think what ONC was qualifying as well is that if they had two occurrences. Is that correct, Mark?
Yeah, this is Lauren. That's correct. The
Lauren,
idea is, it's okay, sort of tag teaming here. The idea of this request for comment was exactly that. If there are sort of repeat offenders, should ONC consider a different approach for those repeat offenders?
So do we want to add that? Does our work group want to say we do not recommend establishing a minimum time period over which a ban must last, even if the health IT developer is a repeat offender? Do we all agree with that? Does that change anybody's opinion?
I agree.
I mean, I think if they satisfy the requirements to get the ban removed, and they do it promptly and carry through, they should be allowed to carry on.
Well, they should be allowed to carry on, but, I mean, is it worth – I mean, I'm trying to think what I'm deciding between vendors. I mean, I do take development and behavior patterns into account to figure out who I'm going to partner with for various things. Well, I agree they should be able to carry on. Does that expunge their record?
No. It's our comment says there's indefinite communication of past records.
Yes.
So you'll know
okay.
that they were banned twice.
Yep. Okay. Got it.
Yep. I'm with you there, Aaron.
I'm trying to triple multitask. So, yeah, gotcha.
I care about that.
Any other comments on that section? Hearing none, let's scroll. So now we're into the self-development area.
Yes, I just corrected a typo in our proposed recommendation.
And just because I can't see below, was that our only recommendation in that area?
Yes.
Okay. And that's pretty much the end of the document, isn't it?
It is.
Okay.
Right.
So, Andy, this was the part, since you can't see it, this is the part where we talked about the exception for self-development so that communication by health IT users aren't restricted by virtue of being employees of the same company doing the development. So if a hospital developed its own software, you know, the staff wouldn't be restricted.
Right, the users of the health IT.
Right.
Is what we're making sure that they can still speak out.
Correct. And I thought that was very well thought out, and I think it seems clear to me.
And while we're on this piece on self-development and the conditions of certification and maintenance, on our task force, on our debrief call, Lauren was on and Kate, and we talked about the conditions of maintenance, certification and maintenance task force taking on the discussion of self-developers for the rest of the conditions. But we need to take that up with our entire task force and have a public call on it. So we'll probably do that after the HITAC meeting at our next meeting. Just so everybody knows what we're doing.
Okay. So are there any other outstanding issues? Mark or? Man, that we walked
no,
through the top.
I mean, I'll leave that to you guys. I will say if you don't have any more and there is some time, I'd ask if there's any more, if you want to drill down any more on any of them since we have.
The gift of time would be nice as well.
Oh, I agree with you. It's a beautiful day here.
Oh, I know.
Well,
I gave up the beach today because of these meetings.
Oh, no. That was a mistake, I think.
No, it's not. It's still sunny. It's not too late. I can hop on the bike and go that way.
I mean, I don't have anything else to add to them. I think that we gave them all. There's plenty of discussion notes. There's plenty of comments. I think the recommendations are pretty clear. I don't have anything to add. This is Michael. I don't know if anybody else does, or Andy, or Sasha, or Denise. Or
no, Aaron. No, it's good.
Andy?
I think it's good.
You on mute, Andy? Are you on a plane?
He might be on the plane.
He left us again. That's fine. Well, yeah. Unless somebody else has something they want to add, I think we can... I know we're early, but I'm assuming we could still go to public comment and then end the call early.
Yep. Yeah, we can definitely do that. If we could get the – got it? Okay. Operator, can you open the line?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star key.
Great. Okay, Mark, from your perspective, I know we've got to clean up the slide deck and everything for presenting next week, but anything outstanding before we wrap today?
No, I don't think so. I was just scrolling through to make sure I didn't miss anything, but it looks like we've covered all the topics. Yeah, I guess one last opportunity. Anyone on the call, any other issues that you want to discuss before we break?
No, I'm just curious, what is the process for next week for the HITAC? Are we just going to go through these each section, or is it just going to be the chairs, co-chairs talking through it? How does it work?
So let me pause there. Do we have any public comments in the queue, operator?
There are no public comments at this time.
Okay. So that was Aaron, right?
Yes.
So the plan is we'd have, once we get everything cleaned up, we'll send the kind of draft recommendations as they are to Andy and Michael today. We'll have them take a look at it, but it will be the co-chairs who's actually presenting the slide deck. I'll let Andy and Michael try to figure out, you know, how they want to split that up. But we'll certainly have, you know, Mark and the rest of the ONC team on hand.
Awesome. Okay.
Right. And Andy and I will certainly discuss that. And we'll also have some time on the task force call tomorrow to maybe go through. I'll definitely go through the recommendations, but, you know, have some more discussion on that. If there's not anything from anybody else, one thing I just like to say thank you. This has been amazing. It's not as many of these calls as we've been on, even this week and last week, there's been a lot of them as a task force co-chair. This one has been extraordinarily efficient, and I appreciate everybody's hard work and, you know, thoughts in between time that you put in there, and certainly appreciate Sasha doing all that typing, and that you type amazingly fast. But thank you for all the work. Thank you for the efficiency. Thank you for the thoughts. This has been honestly a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, and not
cheers.
To be the bearer of bad news, but we still have a still have a number of weeks, I guess. But I agree with everything you said, Michael. It's been good.
Yeah, don't rain on the parade. We did good today. We're getting off. Denise's
going
to get to the beach. Everybody's happy. So let's just.
No, I'm thrilled. All right. Well, thanks, everyone.
All right. Great. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.